Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Turn the Page. I'm your host, Kayla Greenwell. This is our last show for the year. And to bring in the new year, I'm going to be talking with Erin Parker and Michael Grover. Erin Parker won her first creative writing contest when she was 11, and she's been writing ever since. Her work has been published in Uno Kuno, Red Fres, Drunk Monkeys, Cadence Collective, Lost in Thought, Timid Pirate Publishing, The Alter Collective, Santa Fe Review, just a lot. She's been published in a lot. Erin was a finalist in the 2012 NGR Literary Honors Contest and was nominated for Best of the Net 2014. She's an editor for Uno Kuno and JMWW. And The Sacred, which we're going to be talking about tonight, is her first book. Michael Grover is a native Floridian. He is currently a resident of Toledo, Ohio, where he will be at a reading, which he will be talking about today, tomorrow night. He spends a great deal of his time working on his own poetry and giving back to the literary community in service as publisher, editor, and events organizer. Michael is widely published in the small press. He's currently the head poetry editor at Red Fez and the founding editor, publisher of Covert Press. He's published several chapbooks, and in 2014, he published his first novel, Lockwood, The Wolves of Lockwood. His latest project, which I have been reading all day today, is The Cancer Diaries at thecancerdiaries.blogspot.com. So let's get started. First, we're going to talk to Erin for a little bit, then we're going to talk to Michael. And then, as usual, if you want to call in and ask questions to either of them or me, you can call in at 323-870-3407. So let's get Erin on the air. Erin?
Hey, Kaylee. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? It works. Hallelujah.
I know. It works. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. So how are you? Where are you from? How's the weather? Because it's snowy and crappy here.
Oh, I'm great. I'm in Southern California.
Then you have nothing to complain about.
I know. I have nothing to complain about. I live in Long Beach, so I'm just south of Los Angeles.
I'm going to come live with you.
That's fine.
Just saying.
Come on over.
That's part of what this being on the show is.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. a bunch of the Uno Kuno folks came through Long Beach at one point when we did a launch for Uno Kuno Volume 2. So Bud Smith was out, Stano out here, and all kinds of people.
That's great. Well, today, we're not talking about the fact that you live in Long Beach, unfortunately, but your first novel collection of short stories, The Secret and the Sacred, which was published by Bud Smith's Unknown Press.
Speaking of
Bud Smith, he always comes up. He comes up, this is like the Bud Smith show. He comes up every episode.
Everybody knows Bud Smith, so, I mean, that's all you have to say, and everyone's like, oh, you know Bud, you're already a friend, you know? That's how you meet people.
That is definitely true.
So he was nice. He bothered me, you know, to put together a collection for, he bugged me for a couple of years, and we finally did it.
So what is, for the listeners, I've been reading through this. This has been my Christmas break read, and it's wonderful. What is The Secret and the Sacred? What's it about?
It's a collection of stories that are mostly true. A couple of them are not based on real events, but it's mostly based on real events. And it's just a way to say, you know, we all have these secrets, and some secrets are kind of dark and personal and private, and you keep them buried, you know, and others are private, but they're sacred. They're secret and they're sacred. And sometimes you know, the worst things that can happen to you end up being the thing that kind of propels you forward later. And it's always difficult to come to terms with that. Horrible thing happened, but I learned great things from it. You're not thankful for the bad thing happening, but, you know, you're acknowledging, you know, what you've learned and who you've become later. So I guess it's kind of that.
No, for sure. No, I definitely have experienced that a few times in my life.
Right.
So I think that's really, I think that's something that's really relatable. And I have,
yeah,
I mean, reading through this, it, I mean, I haven't lived the same life, and I know it's not completely based on reality, but it's relatable. And I really, I've really been enjoying it.
Great. Thank you.
So what inspired you when you started, I mean, besides Bud bugging you, like when you sat down, what, how did this become this, the sacred and the secret and the sacred?
Well, I started, you know, I've been writing my whole life, but I've never tried to publish anything. So, I mean, everybody probably
you
said
want
that,
something
right?
When you were 11. I mean, like when
yeah,
I was
right.
11, I was probably just eating Skittles and watching Dragon Ball. So,
oh my gosh. But I never tried to publish anything. I never thought that anybody would be interested, and so I just have always written, you know, pieces. And so a couple of years ago, I started to submit pieces, and actually Bud was responsible for publishing the first thing that I ever submitted was to Uno Kudo Volume 1, and that was such a thrill. It was a poem, and I don't even... It isn't even something that I thought was that great. It was just more of a matter of, let me just try to submit something and get over that fear. So they accepted it. And then for Uno Kudo Volume 2, I wrote a story, which was Dance Home, which is in The Secret and the Sacred. And Bud worked with me quite a bit on it, and we got it to a really good place. And it ended up being... really well received. And after that, I started submitting, actually Red Fez was the next place that accepted a couple of poems from me. And it became, I mean, honestly, it just became this kind of addictive thing about just writing and sending things out and trying to get things accepted. And when I would get something accepted, it was just the greatest feeling in the world. And I just kept doing it. And so just to circle back around to Bud, because really, what else are we going to talk about? So, but he just kept bothering me, like, hey, you know, when you're ready to put a collection together, let me know. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm not ready, but that's so nice. But, yeah, I'm not ready. And so for a few, maybe like 3 years, maybe 2.5 years or something, it was kind of this joke where I was like, yeah, I'm going to put out a short story collection. Ha ha, you know, I don't have enough. There's no way I will ever have enough. But I just kept doing it. And finally... I sent him a bunch of stuff, and he said, yeah, you're ready, and you need maybe, you know, 2 or 3 more pieces, and then we worked on it, and at some point he said, yeah, okay, this, it's done, this is good. So that's what happened. I didn't set out to do it. I just sort of started just submitting things here and there, and then I ended up, it's truly a collection that I just gathered together, and I found there was something that kind of connected all the stories. They all seemed kind of confessional and
mm-hmm.
secrets. Definitely me telling my secret. So that's what happened.
What about that process? I mean, what was the most surprising to you? And I mean, for people who are listening, what would you tell them if they're sort of in the same, you know, they've got some stuff, but they don't think people are interested, you know, they're working on it, they're not sure, what would you say to them?
Well, I would say that for me, as I was trying to get myself together to try to figure out where to send stuff and what publication would want what, it was so odd. I mean, I would have things rejected over and over, but then And I wouldn't change it at all. I'd send it again, and then it would be accepted, and it would be like, oh, my gosh, this is, we'd be so proud to publish this. And I was like, wow, it really is about timing. It's about timing, and it's about who's reading it, what that publication is about, and they're all so different. You just can't take the rejections as anything, you know? I mean, not to say that you shouldn't be, you know, looking at things and maybe rewriting here and there, but really believe in your work. And just, it's never personal is the thing, I guess. That's the most important thing I've learned. And then as soon as I got to be on the other side of it and do some editing, and I was reading submissions that were coming in, both flash fiction and poetry, I would even be in disagreement with the other editors on certain things. And I would say, I love this piece. This has to go in. And they'd be like, oh, no, this isn't ready. And I'd be like, no, this is it. It was really a good experience for me to learn that it is not a personal thing when something gets rejected. Just keep your head up and keep trying. And the other thing is you have to find writers that you like, and then read their bio and see where they've been, and then, you know, you find out, it's like a scavenger hunt, you know, you're finding out who likes their work and where have they been published, and you just keep following a trail, you know? You're basically stalking them, you know?
How much time do you dedicate to your writing, like per week, maybe?
Oh, Kayla, I'm so bad. I don't,
don't worry, no
I
one is as bad as I am. Nobody is as bad as I am, so...
I could even go a whole month without writing anything. I mean, I have a pretty demanding job. I work probably about 50 hours a week. And sometimes it's just all I can do to just get through my work day and deal with work projects. And sometimes I just don't write. And I've learned to be really okay with that. And when it's time to write, I will sit down and I will write. And these stories just kind of come out, and I don't have a lot of editing. On most, some of them I can pick apart forever. But for the most part, you know, when I'm ready to write, I write. It's there. Yeah. And because part of my job is creative, I've learned to just not panic when I don't have that creative thing going on. I have to step back. I have to start taking things in, whether that's just stopping and reading or watching a movie or drawing or painting or whatever it is, to just get myself backed away enough from my own process. And it always sort of rises back up to the top. So I just don't panic. I used to really worry about all of that. I just don't anymore. So it just happens when it's ready. And okay with that.
That is awesome. That is an awesome takeaway. I feel like you and I can talk forever, but we have to get Michael in on this. So if you, I'm going to bring Michael on for a little bit, and then after a time, I'll bring you back, and the three of us can talk. And during that time, if the listeners want to call in, the number is 323-870-3407. And if you have a question for me or Aaron or Michael, you can call in and you can ask. Or it doesn't have to be a question. It could be a comment as well. Tim Murray. So just a second. I'm gonna get Michael on the line, and then you'll be back soon. Michael?
Hello.
Hello. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Good.
I just want to say, if any of my friends call in later, I'm not responsible for anything that they do.
That's fine. Neither am I. It's my show, but no. Just if anybody has any complaints, Michelle McDaniel. I'm just kidding. So, Michael,
Yes. You
are hosting. Are you hosting tomorrow, or are you just the honorary?
Michelle says I'm not allowed to host it. Nothing that's going to stress me out too bad. I guess Leo, that does the Madhouse readings, he's going to host it. Leo Todd Jarrett.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, he's going to be the host. And
I
so,
think we
yeah,
need
I'm
to
just going to chill out, read some poetry.
Fill in for the listeners. Tomorrow is the, let's see here, the A Little Help from Gober's Friends fundraiser, New Year's Eve, blow off the motherfucking roof reading performance, who knows, get there, yeah. For you to raise money, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we can
the
talk
GoFundMe.
About that. The GoFundMe thing. I owe a lot to Michelle for starting that. I wouldn't be where I am right now if it wasn't for Michelle. I'd probably still be working a crappy job where my boss is giving me all kinds of crap and I don't know.
This started, for those listening, Michael has a GoFundMe and it was set up by Michelle McDaniel, the creator of the Literary Underground and Citizens for Decent Literature. And it's to raise $5,000 for you, Michael, because you were, do you know yet? I mean, I was reading your blog earlier, but it still seems like maybe not.
Yeah, I definitely have cancer.
No. to raise money for you for living funds. So you and medical expenses. So you don't have to work that crappy job where the boss is all over you.
Yeah. I applied for disability and I had some help doing that. It's still going to take a couple months. So, yeah.
So what are you doing in the meantime? Because I know you're not the person to just sit around. You've always been giving back and doing things for the small press community.
I've been doing Red Fez. Actually, we're off for the month of December, so I haven't been doing Red Fez.
I think everyone's off for the month of December.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, the month of December is the only month that Red Fez is off. It's like a monthly magazine.
So what can people expect tomorrow for the New Year's Eve blow off the motherfucking roof reading? Are you reading?
Yeah, I'm gonna read. I'm gonna read some stuff, some newer stuff that I've been working on. I've been working on a new manuscript. It's called
that's
the Fuck
awesome.
Cancer Poems, and yeah, I'm gonna read.
That's so exciting! I know Michelle's been really excited about this. I just wanted to do a shout out for those listening. If you are interested in helping raising money for Michael, you can go to gofundme.com/a little help for Grover, and the four is the number four. And so far, there's 10 days left, but we're almost halfway there. We've raised $2,386 out of the 5,000. And so that's going straight to you to help with anything, because I know that you give a lot to the small press community, and I know Michelle jumped right on that. And when I saw that, I was like, oh no, because I met you at Small Prestivus this past summer. And we didn't get to talk a lot, but you were a really, really cool guy. So I was happy to help. I mean, there's no minimum donation. I think I donated $15 because I'm a poor college student, but, you know, there is nothing, right?
I had somebody that I haven't talked to in like 10 years donate $10 yesterday.
Hey.
Old King Winkless.
It's this kind of stuff that we have to pull together for, right? That's what's community. I talk about community on the show like every time, and I'm sure people are like, Kayla, please shut up. It's embarrassing. But it's true. And this is what we're for. This is, you know, if we can't do this, what can we do? You know?
Yep.
So tomorrow night, here we go. Readers and performers so far are you, Julie,
yep.
Julie Demoff-Larson, Craig Ferdson, Barry Graham, Leo Todd Jarrett, Michelle McDaniel, Stormy Matthew, I never know how to say Matthew's last name. Shreda?
Shreda.
Yes, that. He's reading. Sherry Bullock, Gary Bond, Drew Coomer, Dan Denton, Lorraine Cipriano. I'm so sorry I'm butchering everybody's names. And
it's
more.
Fun.
So I'm sure it'll be a party. Tomorrow
it's
night.
It's a party when we get together. I can't drink at the party.
I'm sure they'll find something else for you. Like cake or
I got
something.
Stuff. I got something to do, trust me.
So tomorrow, everybody else will be drinking. Michael will be doing something else, and it'll be fine. Tomorrow, December 31st.
I'll be out on the back porch of the trunk.
Oh, yeah. Enjoying yourself, I'm sure. 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at the Trunk. Is that a bar? Hotel?
Yeah, it's kind of a private club. It's strange.
Oh, cool.
It's a private club. They have a poetry reading there every Friday night.
Very, very cool. And that's at 3353 Franklin Avenue in Toledo, Ohio, if anybody's within driving
distance. It's kind of in the hood, but...
Places are kind of in questionable areas.
Yeah. It's Toledo, baby.
So, what can people look forward to besides reading? Because it says, let's see here, we've got... poetry, music, food, bring treats to share, so it's potluck, drink, cash bar, this is bar, well, it's club, 50-50 raffle, book giveaways, and other shenanigans.
Well,
would
you
like to add
anything?
I don't
know if you're doing it tomorrow, but the trunk always cooks stuff for their customers. They always, like, you go there and hang out, their beers are... fairly cheap. They're like a dollar. I think they raised the price to $2, but their beers are like $2 now. And plus, they cook you food.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome.
You can't beat the trunk. It's a cool place.
Guys, they're going to cook you food if you go. I'm sold. I've never heard of that, and that is the coolest thing. Oh, man. Do you have anything you would like to add? I don't want to say it because like, then it makes it real, but you have cancer.
Yes. It's cool to say it.
No, I don't want to. I'm going to avoid it. Like I avoid all my problems.
Live it.
And so we're raising money at GoFundMe, a little help for Grover, the number 4. To help with medical expenses and living expenses, because I am well aware of how much medical bills can add up to. So,
well,
if you would
I'm
like
to... I'm kind of lucky
you,
in the sense that I have Medicaid, so everything's free. Even my prescriptions are free.
Awesome. That's really, really lucky. Well, it still helps, because I know... I mean... it'd be helpful if, you know, when you're feeling kind of icky, you don't have to worry about high stress job and doing all that.
I got to go in and get more tests next week. They're going to feed me radiation and x-ray my body and try to find the rest of the cancer.
The rest of it? No more.
Yeah,
so they
had
you're not allowed
from
to have,
somewhere.
That's not allowed. Tell it to quit it. Well, I'm sorry I cannot make it tomorrow, but I hope that some people that are listening come and you know, share the love and the joy. and get food cooked for them, because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, the truck always cooks food for the people there.
Yeah. It's New Year's Eve. Just kick back. Enjoy yourself.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's bring Aaron back, and then the three of us can chit chat and see the people calling in and see what kind of questions they've got. Aaron, you still there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey,
Mike. Hey,
Mike, you there?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
Good to hear you.
Nice to hear you. Yeah, we've been chatting on Facebook.
Yeah, we've been talking on Facebook, but you can't really.
Yeah, and I'm about halfway through your book, so.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, Lockwood. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on something new right now. Working on.
You can tell Michael is just a man of many words. He's just very.
Sarah, are you guys streaming the event tomorrow?
Yes, we are. I think I shared a link to that.
I thought I saw
where
a link.
At? What?
Yeah.
Michelle set up a Ustream page.
Of course she did, with her fancy knowledge of things.
So it's like you're not there, but you could be there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll look in tomorrow.
All right. So those who can't make it, like me, so I will definitely be watching this like a creeper. Broadcast the show tomorrow for those who can't be there. It is ustream.tv. /channel/8H95Z. They don't make this easy, do they? Lowercase S, uppercase L, lowercase PRV, uppercase U. No one's going to get that, but we'll post
you
it.
You all get all that?
I'll post it. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah,
I'm clicking on it now.
You can watch it. If
that's
you can't
cool.
be there, I mean, I know Toledo's not really a place a lot of people want to come.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's it. I just think, you know, people are running out of gas money and that's my case. I ran out of gas money. But, you know, that's really cool. So, if you're just tuning in and if you can't make it to the reading tomorrow, for Michael Grover, you can tune in at ustream.tv. I'm not going to try to do that again, but I will post the link. I will post the link for
what
people.
What was it again?
It was .tv/neveragain. It's .tv/check the link when I post it, everyone.
There you go.
You can wait. So did you two know each other before you started chit chatting on Facebook?
No, I knew of him, but we were not friends on Facebook or anything until the flyer went out for this, and I was like, oh, this is my chance to say hello to him. So that's how it happened.
It's always the same for me. Michelle's like, hey, you're going to interview these people. Oh, no. Michael died. He's gone.
Oh.
He's got to call back.
Okay.
Michael, call back. So it's just me and you. Are you going to make fun of me? Hold on. Here he is. He's back. There you are.
I got kicked off the show.
Welcome back.
I don't know. I must have said
it wasn't me. It was my fault. So what's your new manuscript about, Mike?
Well, it's about a guy that works in a factory.
Yeah.
I already
what
liked
you
it.
Do. I know. I'm sold, but I need more.
Well, just the things that he goes through. It's a strange. it's a strange world. Like everybody, like there was this one guy in the factory that wrote poetry, and he had to take me to a different parking lot to show me his poetry. And
he
then
can
we were
show
walking back
that.
In the door, like somebody. When we were walking back in the door, somebody started making fun of me for writing poetry because I told everybody that I wrote poetry. He's just like,
see, it's a secret.
Wow.
That's why nobody's ever going to find out that I write poetry.
I can't let anyone
right.
know.
It's true. You think a lot of it. I wouldn't
oh,
let anybody
no.
know.
It's my deep secret. Nobody knows I write poetry. That's actually what Erin's book's about, The Secret and the Sacred. It's her
yeah,
telling
I
everyone
she writes
poetry.
When I took off like half a day to come to Indiana. When I took off like half a day to come to Indiana, somehow the boss found out that I took off to go to a poetry reading. And he's like,
oh
Mike took off to go to a poetry reading. I'll fire him. Then he'll have plenty of time to write poetry.
Oh, my God.
Worth it.
God.
Like somebody
I know I might be a little biased.
Yeah.
There's just so much material that comes from you know, crazy workplaces, you know. I love that.
For sure. All right. It is 10:30, guys. We have to wrap up already. I feel like every time it goes faster and faster and faster. Every time I do one of these shows.
Yeah,
and I just
want to
say it is. And I want to say thank you both for coming on and talking. And
thank you.
I always enjoy doing these. And it's been really fun talking to both of you. So thanks so much. And I hope I talk to you guys soon. Hope we keep in touch.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, but
thank
fun.
You.
Good night, guys. Yeah.
Come out
enjoy.
Tomorrow if you can.
Enjoy.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Bye.
Do it, guys.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, guys. This has been Turn the Page with Kayla Greenwell. And you have been talking to Erin Piker. You know what? Erin, I'm changing your name. It's Piker now. With Erin Piker. I'm sticking with it. And Michael Grover. I will be posting the link to the Ustream for tomorrow night's reading if you can't make it, like me, unfortunately. I'll post all the info from tonight's talks so you guys can keep up. I'll talk to you next time. I hope you guys have a happy new year. This has been Turn the Page.